Thank you. Morning, everyone. Good to be here again today, and it's nice to be able to worship together this morning, and we just pray that God will bless everything that we do and think and say this morning. I'm going to start by reading a few verses from the prophet Amos, who's one of those what you might call kind of doom and gloom sort of prophets. But, you know, I think what he has to say to us there, to the people then, is as appropriate for us today. And it starts, woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness and not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion only to meet a bear, as though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall only to have a snake bite him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light, pitch black, without a ray of brightness? I despise your religious feasts. I cannot stand your assemblies. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. You know, it makes us think, doesn't it, really, about, you know, our approach to God and our worship, actually, and, you know, what God thinks of us as we kind of go through our Sunday worship. You know, God wants our worship to come from here, doesn't it? To be a real, true and sincere offering. And we're going to pray. Just spend a moment just coming before God. We just think of the words we heard a few moments ago from Amos. And Father, as we come before you this morning, we just pray that our worship will be acceptable to you. Father, so often when we come into church, we forget as we meet and we gather together for worship, that we're here to worship the Almighty, Holy, All-Living God. And Lord, when we look at our lives, we can see, Father, how unholy that we are sometimes, and how much we fall short of what you require of us. Father, we just pray this morning as we come and worship you, that your Spirit, Lord, in our hearts, that we might come to you for a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit today. Lord, where we're perhaps feeling a bit dry, a bit down, we pray, Lord, that you will just fill us up and just give us, Lord, what we need to be able to serve and to worship you in the way that you expect your disciples. Father, we thank you that we are here today. We just pray, Lord, for one another. We just pray that we might encourage and lift one another up as we meet together, as we worship Jesus in spirit and in truth.
Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing two more songs now. The first one is "Behold, Jesus is Lord, Behold the King of Kings," and then straight after following that we're going to sing "King of Kings, Majesty." Saviour, and as our Holy Spirit living in us, King of Kings, Majesty.
Thank you.
Right, we have a little quiz now. I've got some sounds that I brought along, some alarm sounds, and I want you to guess what they are. Okay, so we'll hear them in sequence, and then I'm going to ask you a question then. Right, so Seth, so we have the first one then. Fire alarm, yeah. Right, so, okay, Seth, that's... I asked Keith the other day, have we ever had a fire alarm test in at Carey? And apparently we haven't actually got a fire alarm, so that's one reason why we've never had one, apparently. So, but that's what it would sound like. So if we hear a fire alarm, what would you normally do? Sorry? You'll be out there, yes. You can see we've got fire alarm, fire exits in the church. And hopefully, when you hear the fire alarm, you'll actually do something about it and evacuate the building. You know, probably we ought actually to have a fire drill one day, hadn't we really? You know, because I'm sure if we did have a real fire in here, you know, it's important that people know what to do and where to go. Right, what about the next one then? Right, what sort of alarm is that? Yeah, a clock alarm, isn't it? Digital alarm clock. So what happens when you hear that?
Turn over.
Turn over and get to sleep. I think they design alarm clocks, don't they? So that, you know, they've got a snooze alarm button on it, actually. So when you hear an alarm, it kind of encourages you, doesn't it? Oh, I'll have another 5 minutes. You just sort of stick the alarm on and just hope you'll kind of wake up at the right time. Right, what about the next one then? No, not that one. No, we've had that one. Air raid. I'm surprised, you know, you're all old enough to remember that.
You listen to it every morning.
Exactly.
Only 10:15.
Oh, right. So, if you were living during the war and you heard the air raid siren, what would you do? Yeah, you'd probably get down the bunkers, wouldn't you, and find the air raid aid shelters on that. Right, we've got two more. Next one. Pardon? Car alarm. It's a car alarm. What do you do when you hear a car alarm?
Nothing.
Ignore it, don't you? That's right. Usually, when we normally they go off about 3 o'clock in the morning, don't they? You're sitting right out the window thinking, "What whose car alarm that is going off and waking everybody up, don't you?" But nobody these days, if you've got a car alarm, nobody actually looks as to whether the car's being broken into, do they? They just think it's some kind of annoyance. Right, last one then. Smoke alarm, yeah. I had great fun actually getting all these finding all these sounds on the internet. Yeah, it's a smoke alarm actually, and you know it's important, isn't it? Really, when we hear a smoke alarm, that we actually do something about it. Has everybody got a smoke alarm in their house? Yeah. And of course, one of the other things is to remember to make sure that it's working, isn't it? To press the test button periodically to make sure that you can actually hear the alarm and the things working properly. Because ours sort of started to sort of beep the other week, actually, so I had to replace the fire alarm because we'd had it a large number of years and it sort of just stopped working after a while. Now, alarms are actually quite important, aren't they, really? And, you know, alarms really are there as a purpose to warn us, to give us some kind of advance warning, normally, that something is going to happen. It might be something good that's going to happen, or it might be something bad that's about to happen. And you know, the Bible is full of warnings, isn't it, actually? And we're going to look at some of the warnings that the Bible gives us this morning. We already heard some of them, didn't we, in the book of Amos. And we're going to hear later on about some of Jesus's warnings that he gave. But the thing is, the Bible says, although there's lots of warnings, the most important thing is we should do something in response to the warnings that God gives us. You know, I'm sure there's many times when, you know, God said things to us and said, well, look, if you don't do this, if you don't do so and so, this is likely to happen. And we think, oh, well, now, I'm not going to bother, really. I don't think anything's going to happen. You know, we've been talking, haven't we, over the last few months about the future of our church, you know, and people have been warning us that, you know, the building's got things wrong with it, and we need to kind of think about that, and we need to think about what our future is as a church. And they're warnings, I think, that, you know, we just can't ignore, aren't they, really? And God prompts us sometimes and says to us, look, you need to deal with these things. You can't just do nothing. You've got to respond to the warnings that I'm giving you. So we just learn to bear that in mind as we go through our service this morning. So we're going to hear now one of the warnings that Jesus gave in a parable that he told from Matthew chapter 25. And Sandra, are you going to come and read this for us?
At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day nor the hour."
Thank you, Sandra, for that. And we'll be looking at those words in a moment or two. Before we do that, though, we're going to No, we're not. We're going to have the sermon now, actually. We've been following the Eric Morecambe order of service this morning. We've got all the right things, but they've all been in the wrong order, actually. Anyway, here we go. You see, I'm not prepared. That's the problem, isn't it, you say? I haven't heeded the warnings. Anyway, who started preparing for Christmas? Not many. Oh, one or two have got their things.
Yeah, we were having a discussion in the vestry just before the service, actually, about Christmas cards, actually, and, you know, about whether we should be sending Christmas cards at church or not, actually, or whether we were going to have a means of greeting one another in a different kind of way. I must admit, I'm one of these people who never sort of really thinks about preparing for Christmas until about December the 24th, actually, you know. Sandra, on the other hand, is already kind of saying, oh, well, we need to do this and we need to get that in and we need to shop that. But preparation, actually, sometimes is quite important. And I think there are generally two types of people, aren't there? There's those who always like to do things well in advance and very organised and get things all sorted out and everything. You know, we'd rather arrive 10 minutes early than 10 minutes late. I wouldn't say I'm a person that tends to want to get there 10 minutes late, but I don't like to get to things too early, actually. I like to get things just in time. But preparation, I think, is very important. And of course, you know, the Bible has a lot of stories, doesn't it, about preparation. And particularly, there's a lot of preparation for Jesus's birth. And, you know, over the next few weeks, we're going to be thinking about with Advent coming up, about some of the preparations that were made in preparing for the birth of Jesus. But it also is a time for us to think about the second coming of Jesus. And this parable that Jesus told about the 10 virgins or the 10 bridesmaids is about preparing for Jesus's return. And the parable says that 5 of the 10 were prepared, and the other 5 were unprepared. Now, you may wonder when you read this story how the Jewish wedding in those days kind of operated. Of course, now if we have a wedding, usually the bridegroom sort of stands at the front there, doesn't he, waiting for the bride to arrive in the car and to come to the front of the church. And you know, it's the bridegroom that's waiting for the bride. Well, in Jesus's time, everything operated the other way round. It was the bride who waited for the bridegroom. So in this parable, the bridegroom and his party had to go off, and they did like a sort of procession around the town, and they came up to the bridesmaid's house, to the bride's house, and then the bridegroom and the bridesmaids would come back and all process back to the bridegroom's house for the wedding preparation. And the ceremony, unlike it is today, usually took place at night. So it was important that they had some lamps or some light of some description to guide them as they went from one house to another. You could just imagine the picture, can't you? Of, you know, a lovely procession going sort of through the streets with all the lights and things. Now we're thinking actually this year when we do our carol singing to perhaps get some lights and things and to kind of process them around the side of the church. Actually, you don't know this yet, Sandra, but we thought it might be a bit different actually to kind of do that. And of course, in this parable, the bridegroom was delayed and arrived at midnight. And the parable says that the 5 bridesmaids who had no extra oil discovered that they were running short, and they'd gone out to the village to try and get some more to top their lamps up. And of course, in the meantime, the bridegroom's procession had arrived at the house, and 5 of the bridesmaids, by the time they got back, the procession had gone and they'd completely missed out and they were locked out of the wedding preparations. So I think there's 4 things from this parable that Jesus is trying to teach us. So the first thing, can you put the next slide up, Seth, please, is that Jesus will return soon.
Yep.
Yeah, can you put the next, the first point up? All right, yeah. So Jesus will return. So it's the parable begins. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were wise. So this parable, when it says at that time, is talking about the time when Jesus will come again. There's quite a lot of parables and things at the end of Matthew's gospel, which talks about some of the things that may or may not happen as we prepare for Jesus' return. It talks about, you know, the parable of the fig tree, for example, and about the thing about having labour pains and things, to prepare for a birth. All pictures to kind of illustrate some of the sort of warnings and things that are going to happen, to know that Jesus' return is imminent. But of course, I don't think God ever wants us to become obsessed by dates and times, and the Bible warns against that, doesn't it? Because only God knows the day and the hour when Jesus' return. But, you know, we only have to look around us now and look at some of the terrible things that are happening in the world today. And you think of all the earthquakes, the storms, the wars, the rumours of wars, and various other things that are happening in the world today are all indicators, I believe, that Jesus' return is getting nearer and nearer. You know, the Bible uses this word, doesn't it, that Jesus is coming soon. Now, of course, when those words were first written, that was 2,000 years ago, actually. So how soon is soon? You know, the thing is, we don't know, do we? You know, Jesus is God's timing, very, very different to ours. I remember when we were expecting our first baby, and the midwife said, well, you know, your baby's due about such and such a time, actually. But although we knew that, you know, that was the date that we'd been given for the baby's arrival, we also knew that it may or may not arrive on that day. You know, some babies arrive a bit earlier, don't they? And some arrive a bit later. You know, soon is one of these kind of difficult things to try and thing. You know, when you take your children out in the car, they say, you know, are we nearly there yet? And you say, well, yeah, we're getting there soon. We haven't got that long to go. You know, that's what Jesus, I think, is trying to say. We need to prepare for that time when he's coming back, but we don't know when it's going to be. So that's the first thing, then, that Jesus will return soon. The second thing is he'll return unexpectedly. Do you remember that advert that they used to run on TV for Yellow Pages? And it's a story about a young man, teenager, who had been left at home while his parents had gone away on holiday. And while he was away, they decided they were going to have a party at home. And of course, you know what happens when you go away and you leave the teenagers there to have a party and everything. You never quite know what you're going to come back to. But anyway, they had this party and they sort of trashed the place, and there was a picture there that had got damaged in the process of it. And so they had to call up Yellow Pages to get someone to come up and repair the damaged painting so that everything looked pristine when they returned. And of course, you know, they were caught out, weren't they? Because they weren't expecting the parents to come back when they thought they perhaps came back a bit earlier than they were. And of course, in this parable, the bridegroom came a bit more earlier than the bridesmaids, who'd run out of oil, were expecting. You know, it's not nice, isn't it, when you're doing something you shouldn't and you get caught out. I'm pretty sure we could all think of situations where we've been in a scenario where somebody's walked in on us doing something that we hadn't. You know, when you're a child, you've got your hand in the biscuit tin or something, you know, or, you know, I'm sure you can think of some other things as well. Jesus wants us to be prepared, doesn't he? He doesn't want us to be in that kind of caught out scenario. Verse 5, it says, the bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. You know, this is a message, isn't it, that's for us today. You know, and it begs the question, have we become drowsy and a bit dopey when it comes to responding to what Jesus is talking to us? You know, I think the message is even more relevant today. You know, if we believe that Jesus is nearer to coming back than he was 2,000 years ago, which must be the case, mustn't it? That, you know, we've got an even greater urgency to respond and to do the things that he wants us to do. You know, we look around and we think, you know, how are we going to revive the church? How are we going to reach out to people in this world, you know, who desperately need to hear the gospel, don't they? People need to hear what God wants to say to them today. I don't know about you, I feel absolutely helpless. I think, well, what are we doing? You know, what can we do? What's going to work that's going to make people listen to God? It's difficult, isn't it? You know, nobody seems to take much notice these days, you know, and you look at some of the churches and see how they're closing and diminishing congregations. Keith has produced some figures, actually, from the last 10 years of membership at Carey. And when you look at them, they're absolutely frightening, actually. You know, we were sort of quite a membership up here, and it's reduced to somewhere down here in the space of 10 years. You know, it makes you think, doesn't it? What a challenge that we've got on our head. You know, where are we going to be in another 10 years' time? What's going to happen? You know, we're all going to be 10 years older, aren't we? Have we become drowsy and fallen asleep like those bridesmaids? The third thing is, God wants us to be prepared. It says, the foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took their oil in jars along with their lamps. Some of the bridesmaids were ready, some were not. All of the bridesmaids knew that the bridegroom was going to be coming soon. So they, you know, there's no excuse, was there? They all could have got themselves sorted, actually, but five of them did, and five of them didn't. And I want to ask you the question, you know, and it's for me as well, you know, are we preparing ourselves for that time when Jesus does return? It's a bit of a two-edged sword, isn't it? You know, on the one hand, I'm really looking forward to that time when, you know, all the sin and all the pain and suffering and everything else in this world is going to get sorted out when Jesus returns. But on the other hand, I kind of look at myself and think, you know, well, am I really ready? Am I doing the things that God wants me to do to prepare myself for that time? Because God wants us to fill our lamps up, literally, doesn't he, with oil. You know, our lives, our bodies, our whole beings with oil. Not wait until the last minute. You know, we need to be reading our Bibles, to be praying together, worshipping together, you know, talking to people about our faith, reaching out to people, getting filled up by God. And we need to keep being filled up, don't we? Because the lamps of the foolish virgins, the lamps of the foolish bridesmaids, it says, had gone out, haven't they? The oil, the topping up process had stopped, hadn't it? And of course, if you don't top a lamp up with oil, it just, that's it, it won't work, will it? You know, we've got some, some good opportunities, haven't we, over the next little while, with Christmas and everything coming up, with our carol services, with Chris Dingle, the carol singing that we're thinking of doing outside and everything. And it's a good time, isn't it, to invite people to come along and to listen to what God has to say to them. You know, we need to do the things and prepare ourselves, prepare others for Jesus's return. And it's our responsibility to fill our own lamps. Because the foolish virgins said to the wise virgins, they said, look, can we have some of your oil to fill our lamps up? And you might think it was a bit of an unchristian thing to say, because the wise virgin said, well, no, actually, you go and sort your own oil out. You know, I've just got enough oil here to keep my lamp burning. And I think what Jesus is trying to tell us here is that, you know, it's our own responsibility to keep our own lamps topped up with oil. You know, we've got to keep our relationship, our filling up our with God is our personal responsibility. You know, we can't do it and borrow somebody else's faith. You know, it's our faith and God. Not, well, can I have a bit of your faith? And then, you know, it works. It doesn't work like that, does it? That's what Jesus is saying here. Finally, Jesus says we mustn't leave it too late. As it says, the bridegroom was late in coming. You know, maybe had the bridesmaids thought that the bridegroom was going to be late, they might have done something about topping up their lamp with oil, because they'd only just got enough to last them for a certain amount of time, hadn't they? But of course, because there was a delay, they needed a bit extra oil to keep the thing going. But it's good though, isn't it, actually, because this soon that we keep on about is gives us a bit of extra time to get ourselves sorted out, to get ourselves ready for Jesus's return. You know, I mean, even if we're not ready at the minute, he's given us that extra time, hasn't he, to prepare ourselves for Jesus's return. Because there will be a time when one day it will be too late and there'll be no oil to be bought. He replied, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. You know, the door will be locked. The train will have gone. You know, God has given us this time now that we have, and I really truly believe that, you know, we really need to wake up and to get our act together and to respond. You know, and I believe that together we can really transform, you know, this church here and Kettering around us into some, you know, a place where God is at the very centre of everything that we do. In verse 6, it says, at midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, here's the bridegroom, come and meet him. Are we ready? Amen. We're going to sing now another song, Longing for Light, We Wait in Darkness. Longing for light, we wait in darkness. Longing for truth, we Thank you. notice, we've got some of the shoe boxes behind at the moment. I think there's a... Are they underneath? I thought the rest are underneath the blanket over there, are they? Yeah. I thought that doesn't look as many as I remember that they used to be. I'm going to ask Aaron to come up now. We're going to have a time of prayer in a moment. And first of all, I think we just need to pray for all the things that are going to happen now once the shoeboxes leave here and where they will be going, the people that are going to be responsible for making sure that they safely get to their destination, and also for the people who are going to receive the shoeboxes as well, that they're going to be blessed by the contents that that are in them. You know, it's a great bit of great opportunity, hasn't it, really, to do that. So let's pray, and then I'm going to ask Darren then to lead us in our other prayers of intercession. Heavenly Father, we want to praise you and to thank you, Lord, for all the hard work that's gone into filling these shoeboxes up, Lord, with things that hopefully the recipients are going to treasure and enjoy, Lord. We just thank you, Father, for the time that people have taken to collect the various gifts and things, for those who have spent time putting them all together, particularly, Lord, for Darren and Sandra, for all their hard work in sort of coordinating all of the things that need to be done to sort that out. And Father, we just pray now that as these boxes move on now to their final destination, that you'll bless those, Lord, that have got the responsibility to ensure that they safely reach their Father. Give them safety, that they won't meet any problems, Lord, or any administrative hiccups or anything like that, Father, that will stop them getting to where they need to be. And Father, we also pray for those who are going to open the shoeboxes up, Lord, and the children that are going to see what's inside them, Lord. Many of whom, Lord, will be really appreciative of some of the very simple things, Lord, that we so often take for granted. So we just pray, Lord, this morning that you'll add your blessing, Father, to this work and to bless those, Lord, that to do so much, Father, to bring joy and blessing to others. We ask these things now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Prayers of intercession. Father God, in our prayers of intercession, we express our thanks to you that by your grace you have enabled us as Gentiles to know you and share in the promise of Jesus Christ, who is our Redeemer and our salvation. We pray for your church and all those that follow you, that they will remain united in you, the Father, Jesus, your Son, and the Holy Spirit. As the world becomes a darker place, let us become a beacon of light to those whom you choose to draw near to you. We also pray for the unity in the churches in Kettering, and that you will draw the Baptist churches in this town closer together. We now focus on the world. We thank you, Father, for your wonderful creation, and pray for this amazing planet that we call the Earth. Set in a galaxy of planets amongst many other galaxies in a larger cosmos. You have blessed this planet with abundant natural beauty and amazing wildlife, and we acknowledge that the world and everything in it is yours, and that you handed it to mankind to take care of. However, sadly, mankind has failed you in this neglect for the planet and also for one another that reside here. At this moment, the world is going through a crisis, sparked off by the atrocities that were carried out in the land that you gave the descendants of Jacob on October the 7th. However, even though we know the world is going through some tough times, we give thanks for the resurrection, or sorry, for the reassurance that you have the final victory over all evil. We pray for those souls of the 1,400 innocent victims whose lives were cut short on that day, and we ask that you will comfort their families and friends as they hurt and grieve. We also especially pray for those 240 people who are being held hostage in Gaza. and ask that you will give them strength and protection from the captors, and ask that you will enable their safe return to their families and friends. It saddens us to see how elements of mankind can become so corrupted with so much hate to commit these atrocities. But what is worse is that their hatred has been passed down through generations. We petition you, Lord, that you will stop this rot in the hearts and minds of the younger generation. We also ask you that you change the hearts, the minds, and the souls of those who are being deceived and duped with false information on the history and the ownership of your land, especially as this is fueling the spread of hatred and anti-Semitism by those being caught up in the pro-Palestinian rallies that are taking place around the world. Lord, we pray for the protection of our Jewish brothers and sisters who are being persecuted for their faith all around the world. As the nation of Israel attempts to put an end to the aggression being inflicted upon them from the Iranian proxies in Gaza and Lebanon and Yemen, our thoughts and prayers are for the protection of those civilians who are innocent in the war zones. At this time, when there are two major conflicts taking place, there are rumours of this spilling over into a bigger conflict. However, we pray for peace amongst the nations around the world. Lord, we pray for our King, our Prime Minister, our MPs and our councillors, and all those that you have entrusted in positions of responsibility, and we ask that you will guide each one of them with clear direction and discernment to seek and know what is true and righteous in your eyes, so they can conduct themselves correctly in their positions of trust. We also ask you, Lord, for your guidance to those in our nation who are struggling to cope with various issues such as homelessness. Give them shelter, warmth, and food to sustain them. But above all, we ask that you will restore their hope and dignity by changing their circumstances. We pray for those that have been affected by the floods, that their homes are all ruined. Just pray, Lord, that you'll comfort them, that you'll give them warmth and shelter. We pray for those that are suffering financial issues, with the cost of living crisis caused by the rising energy bills and the knock-on effects of the food costs. More people are struggling with their day-to-day finances. We pray, Lord, that you will help them to manage their financial affairs and to make them make wise decisions on their spending. We pray for those, Lord, that are struggling with their jobs, especially those that have lost their jobs due to the business cutbacks and closures, and that you will inspire them with new ways to succeed and sustain their lifestyle. We pray for those, Lord, with addictions, all those that are suffering from addictions in various forms, and we ask that you will enable them to realise that they have a problem and that they can seek help. Give them drive to help them get a new life. We pray for those, Lord, that are suffering from illnesses. We pray for those in our congregation who are ill and for all the ailments, and that you will, and we pray for their healing hand would touch them. We also ask that where medical teams are involved, that you will empower them to deliver the best care, and that they will witness and acknowledge your healing power in action. We also pray for the vulnerable. We ask, Lord, that you'll reassure those that are feeling vulnerable and possibly lonely. We pray for all those that are grieving, that have lost loved ones. And we pray that you will comfort them and help them to heal the void that has been left behind. Lord, in these challenging times, equip us for the spiritual battle, where we can be strong in you and your mighty power, and that you will enable us to put on your full armour, so that when the day of evil comes, we may be able to stand firm by wearing the belt of truth buckled around our waists. We can wear the breastplate of righteousness in place. Our feet will be fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Let us take up the shield of faith so that you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And help us put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit dwells within us and keeps us alert in discerning what is right and steer us from doing what is wrong. We ask that we can become ambassadors for you, giving us all a voice and that can encourage and draw others to follow you, especially in this dark world that is showing signs that we're in the season of your return. However disturbing events are, we live in the knowledge and understanding that you are in full control and that you have an eternal plan, and that involves Jesus coming back again and crushing the evil one. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Darren. That's great, and really sort of fitted in, I think, with what we've been thinking about this morning. We're going to finish our service today with "In Christ Alone Our Hope Is Found," reminds us that he is the one who will keep us safe until the end, until he returns.
Home, here in the power of Christ, I'll stand.
Heavenly Father, we just pray now that as we go out from here, that we might go out with the light and the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might be lights, Lord, in this dark world. Just give us the strength, Father, that we need to tell others about Jesus, our Saviour. And Lord, just bless us now. May the power of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless each one of us and those that we love. In Jesus' name.